The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thank you, as always, for listening.
We have a jam-packed episode today. Jam-packed, because we are answering your questions, you right there in your car or on the treadmill or washing the dishes, whatever it is, you all have written to us and we want to answer you.
Yeah, it seems like lately we've had like sort of an influx of questions and information. Sometimes we get a lot of information and then just one question. So when we were putting everything together, we were trying to pull out the really important points that you, our listeners, want us to dissect and address. And we try to email back every listener that writes in.
We try really hard.
So some of you have received emails back, most of you, I think, with one or both of us responding to your questions and issues. And we wanted to start off today by kind of noting or recognizing that the last episode we did, last one was 58, and that was with my friend Lauren talking about losing her mom to cancer pretty much at exactly the same time as she was planning her wedding. And it was, I don't know, it was like a hard episode to pin down before we did it, don't you think? Like, I didn't really know which direction it was going to take.
Yeah. And you were talking about it for a long time. And I think we both were kind of like on the, like, we didn't say that to each other, but I think we were both like really sensitive to the fact that this was a very like personal story event, you know?
Yeah. I was nervous, I guess, that it wouldn't happen at all. And then when it looked like it was going to happen when she came out to visit, I was nervous that it was just going to be, I don't know, like more for me and more for Lauren than it was for our listeners or accessible to our listeners.
Yeah.
I just didn't know how successful it would be as telling a story. And I was really proud of Lauren and how she shared everything. And I was proud of the way you edited it and put it together. So we were really happy to put that episode out because it was something that was so different than what we have always put out before. And also than what we can find on any wedding podcasts or blogs out there, really.
Yeah.
So it was nerve-wracking, but we're happy with it. And we got some emails back like that day.
We got so much feedback and we're going to read a couple of them, but we want you all to know that we heard you and
thank you. Yeah. It was so heartening. Yeah. It really like touched us and humbled us that people were listening across the world, literally some listeners, and thought that it touched them enough to write to us to tell us that. It was just, we just got goosebumps.
Yeah,
so
thank you.
And again, thank you to Lauren for recording that with us. So one of the emails we got said, I just finished listening to your episode, The Happiest Sad Day, and I wanted to thank you and Lauren for such a beautiful, honest, open, and truthful discussion. It was truly one of those rare moments where a podcast transcends its usual theme and talks to the very fundamentals of life, love, friendship, loss, vulnerability, and strength.
I know.
Oh my God, I want to, like, she's writing like the synopsis
for
it. I was particularly awed by the deep friendship between Christy and Lauren, as I am similarly made frequently happy by the bond between you two, Christy and Michelle, which made me hope that my friendships can also last the depths and distance. I'm a longtime listener. I actually got married in the English countryside this past July, but only discovered your podcast in the exhausted wedding aftermath. I have since listened to the whole back catalog, and it has been a resilient remedy to post-wedding blues. That's awesome.
Yeah.
as well as providing joy and entertainment while I do the dishes. Huge thanks to you both. Keep doing what you're doing. You amazing starfish.
I love that.
And I just want to call, I'm using that as a term of endearment for everyone in my life from now on.
Yeah.
You amazing starfish. So thank you so much for emailing us that. And then we had one more we wanted to share about Lauren's episode. You want to read it, Michelle?
Yeah. Christy and Lauren, I have to thank you so much for sharing your experience. Even though my dad died 11 years ago, my wedding was something I always knew would have this hole because I couldn't replace him being there. And as I've been planning, I've been trying to figure out where to put him in and where to keep him out. And everything is going well. His brother is walking me down the aisle and his two best friends will be there. But no podcast touches on these moments. And I think it's so important because I know I struggle with it and it was 11 years ago. My fiance's father has Parkinson's and we are planning around him and having him be comfortable because sometimes he can't walk. And I rambled, but I just wanted to thank you. I know how hard it can be to share stories like that, but I just wanted to let you know that it helped me. And I love the idea that it isn't the best day or the most perfect day, but a touchstone for our relationship. Thank you. Love the podcast. I don't even know.
Oh my God.
Like, these are just two emails. And anyway, I'm happy that some of you are listening to the show after the wedding is over. I know that this is a wedding-focused podcast, but in that, every single one of you are just like everyday people, right? Like, this is a life event, getting married in someone's normal life. And so, it's just touching, and it's just, we're all, you know, everybody's got a struggle. Everybody's got happy times, and we want to celebrate that and celebrate, you know, that your love and that you're excited and you're getting married. But at the same time, like, real shit is happening to you and in this world.
We talk a lot about stress and the word stress and, you know, anxiety, and I feel overwhelmed and all that. That kind of goes hand in hand with wedding planning itself. And that's in order to create this day that is so wonderful and memorable for you, and the pressure, and it's a lot. And we talk a lot about that, but we don't talk a lot about just how that stress can sometimes manifest into sadness, or that sadness is the cause of why you're feeling so anxious about your wedding day and like the fact that it's coming up. So we don't want to forget that, you know, everybody has a story and people are going through real things. These are regular lives, as your lives are regular lives. We're all normal people. And then, like Michelle said, this is this one big day. So we were so glad we got to touch a little bit on maybe what the other side of that can look like. And Lauren just sent me a blurb for us, because I asked her, because we had talked a lot about the podcast after it came out, because I was worried too, is she going to like it? And is she going to feel like we told her story the right way? And it was really wonderful to be able to share these comments with her as we got them. But she just sent me a response, and I need you to read it.
Oh gosh, you're crying.
I don't want to, like, it's early. I'm still in my pajamas. This is like a teary day. So,
all right.
Yeah, you read it and then we'll move on to questions.
Lauren, this is Lauren's words. After we recorded, I felt a sense of relief, a lightness I haven't felt in a long time. I haven't told that story in its entirety and probably couldn't have to anyone but you. I was nervous when the podcast went into the world, but I'm so grateful to have had the experience. I know it's so cliche, but if one person listens and feels less alone, then it was worth it. So Christy, I know you went through this with Lauren. She's your person. She's your best friend, but I haven't actually gotten a chance to speak to Lauren, but Lauren, if you're listening, I know you are, because you're one of our biggest fans. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I feel like I know you through Christy, our funnel, and I'm just sending you lots of love. And I, you know, I'm so sorry for your loss. And thank you so much for sharing this with us. Christy's totally bawling.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay.
Is that?
It's hard. It's like.
Wait, are you using like a sock to clean your
nose? It's a clean sock.
Okay. It's a clean sock. She's in the closet. There's no tissue. She's using a clean sock.
I should have known. Yeah. It's, you know, like we said in the podcast too, like, hug your moms, hug your dads, hug your people. Cause that is some heavy stuff and you never know. Just be grateful.
Guys, I promise this show is going to get a lot more fun and uplifting, but I just want to say, you guys out there planning your weddings, be happy, be excited, be thoughtful.
Yeah.
And, you know, compassion, love, peace. I'm sending all that energy out there. All right. All right.
Very good.
Okay.
So.
Okay, you're going to be able to do this? You got to comp.
Yes,
gotta,
that's, yep, nope, I'm good because now.
Clean yourself up.
So some of these questions, we are not forgetting that this is all relative. Like this listener, number one, we're calling it bad bridesmaids. When she sent us the message, like, this is a really big deal to her right now. And she's probably losing sleep over it and trying to figure out how best to navigate the problem. So.
Do you want to read it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I'm a new listener, listen to your wedding podcast, and she's been binging it, which of course we love. So she has a question about bridesmaids. I chose my bridesmaids very early on, thinking I wanted to include people who knew both my fiance and I very well, which is a great idea, and have been through the struggles I've encountered in the last 4 to 5 years. Fast forward a few months, and I've been very displeased with two of my bridesmaids and how they're acting and their lack of excitement for helping me plan things and attend things like dress fittings. One example is one bridesmaid planned their engagement party and these two complained a lot about the other. Each bridesmaid was complaining about the other one. And so being a perfectionist and type A, this bride says that the party was fun, but she had to do most of the work and that's not what she envisioned.
They were her co-maids of honor. So these two bridesmaids were actually maids of honors. Two of them.
And they were kind of like complaining about the other one to her and not taking on enough responsibility in this bride's mind for planning stuff. Neither one was able to attend the dress fitting 3 days prior to the event. They weren't that enthusiastic about planning her bachelorette and, And then while this is all going on, she has sort of reignited a friendship with her best friend from high school and college. She's talking to more recently, and surprisingly, this old friend is the one who texts her and asks her how wedding planning is going and seems genuinely interested. Basically, it's too late to ask old high school friend to be in your wedding party now, is what this bride thinks. And how does she include this friend who's being so supportive in things like the wedding party, but how does she also handle these difficult bridesmaids? She says, I don't want to lose them as friends long term, and I'm not sure how to have a conversation about it without upsetting anyone. And then she wants some advice and some help on that. I read it and I kind of cringed a little bit because I was like, uh-oh.
So, well, I think of my sister because my sister, you know, she got engaged and she jumped into everything because she was super excited. She's like, I know who I want my maid of honor to be. I know who I want my bridesmaids to be. And I think sometimes the level of excitement we have as the ones getting married
can cloud your judgment a little.
Clouds your judgment a little. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. So listen, it doesn't matter. These are titles, right? These titles that we've been using for since who knows how long. And at the end of the day, I'm remembering something you said in our guest list episode, and that is there are friendships that you had at the time you were planning your wedding that have far lasted beyond the wedding, right? And some that haven't. And you wish you would have invited some of those people. And I think my advice to this bride is give yourself some relief by removing these expectations of your wedding party.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Let them do what they want to do and enjoy it. But you kind of have to take the fine print out a little bit.
Yeah.
Like you asked them, and I mean, you didn't make them sign a contract. So remove the conditions, I guess,
and
for your own sake.
And on the flip side, I do want to say I'm really sorry that these two ladies who you felt would be really, really excited for you and really someone you could depend on to kind of...
Enthusiastic, yeah, supportive.
Supportive and kind of take the reins. It didn't happen that way. And I understand that. I understand how disappointing that is to you. And I understand how hurtful that is to you probably. And I'm really sorry that you're experiencing that. You are not alone.
Yeah.
It happens so much. We hear this a lot.
Right.
And so I'm really happy that you have this person in your life who is it?
It's like an old high school best friend.
Yeah, which that's like coming back into your life at this moment. And so you don't need to give her a title, but
yeah, just embrace her
support,
presence and involvement.
Yeah. And, you know, include her. And maybe she wants to go with you to like pick some stuff mm-hmm. out and like be who you probably thought these maids of honor would be.
Embrace the friend who is there for you in the way that you really appreciate her right now. Like Michelle said, maybe she can come to some things with you ahead of the wedding. Invite her there on the wedding day morning.
Yes.
If you're getting ready, yes, and you're doing hair and makeup.
Great idea.
Who cares if she's not a bridesmaid? It's just a title, and have her be there because she is someone that she's positive and you really want to be around her right now.
And you asked, how do I handle these difficult bridesmaids? Don't handle them. Let them do what they do. But I would say when they're on the phone with you or whatever it is complaining, say, listen, Christy,
mm-hmm.
I love you. I love that you're a part of this. I just don't want to participate in any like negative talk anymore about anyone. This is a happy time.
I don't have the bandwidth.
I don't
have the room.
I love you guys. I chose you guys. You're part of my life. I'm happy to have you. I just don't want to do the negativity thing. And then see, yeah, you know, without insulting her in any way, boom, done. That's my advice. Anything else?
No, that's good. That was basically what I emailed her back. So we're on the same page. And we do sincerely hope that everything kind of evens out.
Yeah, let us know.
Calms down and you're able to have a wonderful wedding day.
Okay.
Keep your eye on the prize, as we always say.
Yes. You're getting married to the love of your life. All right.
So the next question was, well, you read it, but it was in specific regard to our episode, Thanks But No Thanks.
Yes, which is about like, you know, if you have to fire a vendor or if you choose not to hire a vendor that maybe you've been speaking to for quite a while and difficult decisions. Okay. Hi, Michelle and Christy. I'm a regular listener of your podcast, and I have to say I get excited every time I see there's a new episode. I'm planning my wedding for next summer, and you have such thoughtful advice, so thanks for being so comprehensive and fun in your podcast episodes. I wanted to comment on your most recent episode, Thanks But No Thanks. I agree that it's kind to respond to everyone you had a fairly in-depth conversation with about their services. I will make sure I go back and do that because I would certainly want the same. I've worked in professional services before, she puts in parentheses.
And we're talking about just a quick email to say, thanks for the bid you gave me, florist.
Yeah.
But we're going to go with somebody else. Have a great day. Literally three sentences.
What I've found to be unique and frankly frustrating about the wedding industry, though, is that pricing is not clear at all. Everything is negotiable, it seems, but to get a sense of whether that potential vendor is even within some sort of real reasonable negotiating range, I have to reach out and ask about pricing. And oftentimes, it requires a consultation, phone call, etc. In most cases, I probably shouldn't invest the time meeting or talking. And I think they probably wouldn't want that either, unless I know for sure that their pricing is somewhat close to my budget range. So long email, but I understand what she's saying here.
Yeah, we totally feel you. It is frustrating. It's frustrating for us too when we're trying to figure out the market and our pricing, because it's not like a store where you can just compare. How much does it cost to get these headphones here? How much does it cost to get them here?
Yeah, you can't like go onto Amazon and like see which is the better rate.
There really are so many variables. So while some vendors do post their basic pricing online, I post mine where my package starts for this very reason.
Yep, me too.
Because I don't want to waste anybody's time with if you have a smaller budget and you don't want to, you know, fall in love with a vendor over the phone or talking to them, because then you can't afford them.
You can't afford it. And you've spent, like you, she says in this email, like we've spent 20 to 30 minutes on the phone plus another 20 to 30 minutes on emails. And now I've got this proposal and I'm like, it's like
only to find out
everybody's time is
there's
wasted.
No way.
Yeah. So
we feel you. And the only thing I tell my clients, because sometimes I have clients where I'm not doing full planning for them, I'm just going to be their month of planner. So my quick advice after they hire me, and maybe I'm not going to talk to them for 6 months, might be when you reach out to vendors, if you want to try to skip all the inquiry forms, try to find their actual business email and send them an email directly that says your wedding date and your overall budget, and then this magic number, which is your estimated budget specifically for that service, and just get it out there. I have $2,000 to spend on flowers for a Saturday wedding in June. If you can work within this, or you think it's worth talking to me about a proposal, I would love to hear from you. But, and just be honest and transparent, but I don't want to waste your time if this is not feasible. And then if that florist just doesn't write you back in a week or two, you can assume that it wasn't feasible. But if they do, great, have the conversation with them, and you might have saved yourself that 20 or 30 minute call just by putting out your budget right at the beginning.
Yeah.
I know it's frustrating. It's probably still going to be frustrating, but you will find vendors that you really vibe with, and maybe some adjustments will be made in your budget in the long run, but putting it out there as quickly as you can, as early as you can, will be the most effective, in my opinion.
And I know that there are a lot of vendors that listen to this show as well, because we've gotten your emails. So for whatever reason, depending on the industry you're in, right, it's kind of hard for a florist, let's say. You know, if you're under $10,000 floral budget, I'm not going to work with you in San Francisco in September.
On a Saturday.
On a Saturday, right? So maybe a range. It's hard for a lot of vendors to put that, but if you can, vendors, and this is speaking with somebody who puts my minimum price on my website, you're going to get inquiries that you know at least can pay your minimum, right? So it's hard. We'd love to hear from you guys about this, vendors specifically. I hope that helps our listener. We're just calling her S. Thank you for writing to us. Okay. Military fiancé, go.
Okay. Well, listener question, military fiancé. We do not talk about this very often or at all, do we? About like specifically.
I know. Yeah. I think we need to maybe have somebody on the show about this. Yeah.
So first off, ladies, I would like to say your podcast has been very helpful while we begin to plan the biggest party of our lives. That's a great way to look at it.
Yep.
My fiance and I are in a bit of a pickle. We have had a quirky engagement since he is in the military. He recently left for a year overseas and also found out that immediately after his year is done, he will be moving to Europe for 3 years.
Oy.
Yikes. That tidbit of information put a bit of a rush on our wedding plans, as the only way I could go with him to Europe would be as his wife. Okay, I feel you, military bride. So the night before he left, he proposed. And while it's incredibly exciting, it's a bummer that we never really got to, quote, live in the moment, since I had to send him on the plane the next morning. And it'll be a year before I see him again.
Aww.
Any advice on planning a destination wedding when we can't set a date, since we don't know exactly when he'll be stateside or leave after his tour? Oh my gosh. We have realized that we can't choose a typical venue and have decided to have a small ceremony in a national park and then a big party afterwards, doubling as our reception and send off before we leave for 3 years. That's good. Two birds with one stone there.
Yeah.
A farewell party. We are making the 14-hour time difference kind of
work.
I want him to be included in the planning.
14-hour time difference. That's crazy.
And I keep running into obstacles while we plan this, especially since I recently moved across the country and I'm no longer living in Colorado. Any help is greatly appreciated. Okay, so he's in Europe, she's somewhere, and their wedding is going to be in Colorado. They can't figure out a date quite yet. And it sounds like it's going to have to be kind of a rush plan job when they do get a date.
So this is a complicated one, because, and so I wrote back to her with some questions, and this is Samantha, by the way. She's happy with us saying her name. Hi, Samantha. A couple of things. He's only going to be home for 2 weeks, because my question to her was, do you want to have a small ceremony one day and then a big reception on another day? And so she says, we've been playing around with the idea of having a traditional wedding day without inviting everyone to the ceremony, but we also are considering having the ceremony one day, spending a few days alone, and then having a big party reception on it a few days later. I like the couple of days alone, by the way, after the ceremony.
Yeah, and I like that gives you a little bit more breathing room, too, mm-hmm. instead of having to plan everything for one day.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like you're going to have a very short time frame to essentially throw this all together once you get your date.
And be alone and be together as a couple.
So we think that's a good idea, especially since you could have really the only thing you need for an actual ceremony is the two of you and the paperwork. So get on top of that, because you will need that within 60 days or whatever Colorado rules are. And you want to make sure this is legal so you can go with him when he leaves for the 3 years. But the only thing you need for an actual ceremony is the two of you, the paperwork, and an officiant. Potentially some witnesses, but every state doesn't require that. So that can actually be a really intimate, you know, day and moment. And those plans can be separate from the big party, so that you just make sure that that is sealed up and you are officially married.
And for flowers, you can grab a bouquet from a supermarket, from Costco. Like, you know, you could talk to a florist locally. I'm sure, depending on where you are, if it's a military area, this is you're probably not the only one with mm-hmm. this predicament.
Yeah. So we think you should talk to an officiant and figure out the marriage license situation, and then work on just putting together a script. That can be something that you do with your fiance, even if you're not talking on the phone.
So the biggest thing here is that she doesn't have a date, Christy. Like, she can't, like, she won't know a date until, like, I don't know, what was it? A couple weeks before. But she does know that he'll be stateside sometime between August and September. So there's, like, you know, 2 month span. Month and a half span. But I did ask her a big question. I said, are you opposed to having this on a weekday? And she said no. So I would say try to get the least amount of vendors involved as possible, unfortunately, right? Because they're all going to have to coordinate, right?
And pick ones that have backups. Like, the DJ needs to say, I have a couple other DJs that work for my company.
Yes.
And the caterer can say, like, you can call us 5 days before and change things up, but here's how we are going to handle that.
Right.
So just, like, stay as flexible as possible. And I think maybe have two vendors narrowed down for each vendor category.
Yeah.
And
well,
make sure that you talk to those people.
I mean, it's unfortunately, you're going to be at the mercy of whatever vendors are open to saying, yeah, we'll keep a date open. But I think this is peak wedding season, and you're most likely going to end up having this on a Thursday. it seems like for me, I'd be like, okay, like, let's say a Thursday is pretty safe. You know, like, I'm happy to keep any Thursday open for you. Or even a Friday potentially, but not as a caterer. Probably not as a caterer. I wouldn't do that. And then another note is I wouldn't start planning this until much closer to August. I know myself as a vendor, I wouldn't commit to this so far out. Right, Christy? Wouldn't you say? Like, this is more along the lines of, okay, let's plan this wedding in the matter of a month as opposed to a year out.
Yeah, and I would say I'm really interested. I think you're great. Call me back in late July. Yeah.
A lot of DIY stuff. You have time for DIY stuff, by the way. Choose some projects. And that will kind of help you to start, you know, making your favors if you're going to do favors or put together a humongous Pinterest board, narrow things down, know exactly the colors you want, look up what flowers are in season at that time of the year, you know, do a lot of research that way, write your ceremony together, start doing some research on vendors, but I wouldn't call them at this point, not quite yet, because that's going to cause you probably a little bit more stress.
Yeah,
than you
I think
need
so too.
Right now, just focus on the creative stuff you can make and writing that ceremony and sending lots of cute photos to your fiance.
Yes. And, you know, we don't always encourage our brides or our listeners to do a lot of like delegating with friends. In this case, I think if you have some talented friends, tell them about your general plans and your general time frame and tap into, I don't know, your friend who plays classical guitar and your friend who can make some signage out of wood and paint.
Yeah.
I mean, those, it helps if these vendors, these services or goods are coming from friends, because they'll be a lot more understanding with your situation. So we are pro friends helping you on this as much as possible too.
All happy things, all fun stuff, right? Good luck to you, Samantha. Let us know how it goes. All right.
Yes, we have this appropriate attire question. Mm-hmm. And then after this one, we have some kind of big, big industry questions, don't we?
Yeah.
Okay. So it says, first of all, I'm a big fan. I've gotten some great info. Thank you so much for doing this for free. We're doing this for free.
We are doing this for free.
Holy shit. We did not think this through. Okay. I'm getting married in just 50 days. We are having a Catholic ceremony. His family is Irish Catholic, and we're having a big wedding with about 250 guests who are really fun and are going to come ready to party. I am worried about some attire that some ladies might wear to the ceremony. When my fiance's sister got married a couple years ago, there were aunts giving girls shawls to wear as they walked into the church. I'm trying to avoid that from happening at our wedding. Is there a tasteful way to let people know to dress appropriately for the ceremony? I was planning on posting our wedding website link all over social media, and I thought I could put something in the ceremony details section. I don't want to sound like a prude, but I don't want any family or our priest to be offended or feel disrespected. Thanks so much. Oh man, I've done some weddings where some girls were wearing, no joke, tank tops for dresses. That's what it looked like to me. And I'm not an old lady. And I was like, oh my God, girls. Wow. Wow. Wowza.
Yeah.
So I totally understand where this bride is coming from. And I'm glad that she's putting the forethought into this.
Yeah, this is a very specific question, isn't it? And I'm trying to think of if I had my client, you know, talking to me, asking me this question, like, what would I say? And I would say probably, one, at the end of the day, if somebody's showing their boobs and too much cleavage, really, like, how will that affect you and your wedding day?
The church is going to welcome
all
everyone.
Yeah.
Let's put that out there. Mm-hmm. Even the, you know, most beautiful, gorgeous, ornate Catholic cathedral is not going to turn people away. This is a church. They want people there. That being said, there is a difference between having a wedding, you know, outdoors in a garden and indoors in a church. And I've had several brides have to sew, you know, shoulder shawls kind of into or on top of their strapless dresses for Catholic ceremonies specifically, because their shoulders were not allowed to be bare in the church.
Really?
Yes. And so, and then that was taken off. It was like a shrug. And one had like an extra veil material that literally covered her shoulders the entire time. So this is a thing.
Well, it's about respect. And, you know, it's about respect.
But you can't make your guests, you can only do what you can
do. Exactly. And I think many things, you're going to send an invitation that says that this is in a Catholic, that this is in a church. So that right there to any guest who has any sort of experience would know, okay, you know, I'm gonna dress appropriately.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna take an hour.
Yeah.
It's a mass.
It's a mass. It might get cold in there anyway. Some people may have never stepped foot in a church. There's many people like that, right?
Yeah.
And so I think your idea of posting something on the wedding website and on social media is a great idea. But you can only go so far. And and it seems to me like you wrote about it's your fiance's family who's very hardcore Irish Catholic, that it was, you know, his sister's wedding where his aunts were giving out shawls to the girls. So it seems like you are wanting to be very respectful of his family, which I commend you on, and that is lovely. And I think you're right on track. You send out an invitation that says it's at a church. You post something about it on the website, not to, you know, just be like, just want to be reminding everyone that, you know, appropriate attire should be worn at the church. We love you all and how you come, you
and
know.
And we can't wait to party with you afterwards.
At
the reception.
Yes.
Yeah. And so we think the wedding website, not everyone goes to the wedding website. The people that don't go are
going to dress
older
appropriately.
Usually they're going to dress appropriately. So put the wedding website out there, make it like cool and engaging, put lots of photos, but pretty big on the main page include a note about attire or, you know, a little star like, hey, ladies.
Maybe a funny little
just so
gift
you know,
or something.
Yeah, something cute.
Yeah.
Something cute. And it sounds very much like you're trying to avoid aunts giving out shawls at the entrance of the church. So we're down with that. Don't do anything you don't want to.
I think it's kind
just
of funny,
put
to
it
be
out
honest.
The best you can.
I think I'd want a video of my aunt, you know, Sue, putting a shawl on my cousin who's like 17 and, you know, banging.
Yeah, in like a club dress.
Yeah. But you know, we're all different beings. We all have different priorities. I am very respectful, and I commend you again on you wanting to make sure that you're respecting your fiance's family, which is going to be your family, and the sanctity of the church, and because you're paying so much attention to this. It's going to be amazing and it's going to be beautiful.
Yeah.
And I'm happy for you and excited. I want you all of you people out there who we've read these questions, let us know how it goes. Send us pictures too. If there is a snapshot of any aunts putting a shawl on any girl, I want a picture.
Yeah, we're into it.
Yeah. All right. So these last two, just so you all know, these last two have to do with people getting into the wedding industry, very much based off the fact that either based on their own weddings, which is much like what I did back in the day, or because they, you know, they just love it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dear Christine Michelle, I absolutely love your podcast. Since getting engaged just a few months ago, I have listened to every single one of your episodes at least 3 times. My partner is in the military, another military.
Mm-hmm.
And of the 10 months we will be engaged, he will be away on deployment for 9 of them. Listening to you guys has really helped me keep my sanity as I try to single-handedly plan this huge event. In parentheses, she says, fear not, I have taken your advice and will be enlisting the services of a month of coordinator soon. Good for you.
Yes, good job.
The reason I am emailing you both is because, like many brides, planning my own wedding has kindled a burning desire within me to make a career change into the events industry. Cakes! I know it's a total cliche, but I am not making this decision totally blind. Okay, so I'm gonna skip some of her email, but essentially I will tell you that she has been working in this business already. She has experience. She sounds like she knows what she's doing.
On the side.
On the side, yep. She's done other stuff as well. But her passion, it seems like, and her love is cakes. Okay, here we go. So after that very long introduction, my question is, what advice would you have for someone wanting to break into the quite crowded events industry and start a small business from almost scratch? I am fortunate to already have the right qualifications and a decent portfolio of work to show potential clients, but I know that my future success relies on so much more than that. What tips do you have for being a successful business? Small business owner, thank you for your help. You guys have been a real godsend. And without trying to sound too creepy, I honestly feel like I know you as though you are my friends. You're not creepy. I love that. Listening.
We're trying to get that.
Yeah. Listening to one of your podcasts on the way home feels like I'm just out to brunch, chatting with a couple of my closest gal pals. Admittedly, it is a strange relationship to have with a podcast, but I think it just speaks to the fact that you two are great at what you do and are able to build rapport with people no matter who they are or where they are, which in my case is the other side of the planet. Crazy. Thanks again. Looking forward to your response. Lots of love. She's in Australia.
Literally the other side
of
the world. We are. Thank you for listening.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Where to start here, lady?
Well, this one's easier than the next one, I feel like. So she's been... She has a job, let's call it your 9-to-5 job. Keep your day job.
Keep your day job, girl.
Only because this industry is a beast that swallows good-hearted, talented people whole. Yeah. And also, you're making these cakes and you have a pretty good portfolio, like you said. So you need some funding from your day job to continue to make these cakes and get better and more creative. So if you don't already have an Instagram page, I think that's the main place where we're seeing these beautiful cakes. And Michelle and I are discovering, you know, just ridiculous artist bakers from all over the world just by Instagram. That's my main piece of advice, I guess. And then the other thing is look into what's around your region in terms of networking events or networking groups that include more than just other cake bakers, planners and photographers and musicians and venues. And the more people that you can kind of meet face to face and talk to and invite to taste your cakes and check out your Instagram page, the better. Because I believe, and it's still something that I'm working on with my own business as well, that this is very much word of mouth, face to face relationship kind of industry. Yep. So you have to put yourself out there and call yourself a baker, you know, like this is what I do. Put it out there and, you know, start calling yourself a professional baker and then see how many people you can meet.
As long as you are a professional baker, right? There's standards, there's health code, there's all that stuff. And the last thing you
insurance.
Want is to get sued by someone who says their guest got deathly ill because of your cake. So, yes, insurance, attorney looking at contracts. And I would also say pick a specialty. Like there's got to be something unique about you and what you do. And that is your niche. And that is what's going to get people's attention and get buzz. And like Christy said, network and build relationships and price yourself appropriately in the beginning. I know it's you want to make money off of this, but you're not going to make money for a while probably. So you want to get in, you want to get your cakes out there, and you want people to feel like they're getting a good value being that you're new.
Yes, pricing appropriately is a good point because it needs to be relative to where you are and how much experience you have.
Social media is huge. We're still trying to figure that shit out, aren't we all?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and we're not, I mean, neither Michelle or I are small business managers or developers. We are entrepreneurs and we have done our own thing, but, and this goes to the next question too, there's a shitload of trial and error. And a lot of that is error and learning from your mistakes. And entrepreneurs are constantly tweaking things because it's like, well, that didn't work. And we lost a little over here because that didn't work. And I just wasted 6 hours over here and that didn't work. But ultimately, you're chiseling it down to something that works for you. That's what we're all trying to do.
Yeah, lots of love and sending out good wishes to you out there in Australia. Okay, last one. This is another long one. Got to shorten it a bit, but we know what she's saying. We've got experience here.
Yeah, we're going to kind of chop it up. But basically, she's maybe wants to be a wedding planner. She's thinking that's her career path. And she lives in a big city. But
it's a very small community, so she doesn't want us to say the name of the city or her name, but we're going to call her...
L. So she says, "Hi, ladies. I absolutely love your show. I just finished the most recent episode about Lauren's wedding and her mom's death, and I cried my eyes out." Me too, dude. "I am so excited to keep listening, but I do have to say that I'm sad I can't binge it anymore." So she's all caught up, I guess. "I think I sent you an anonymous email through the website a while back, and I left you a review on iTunes."
Thank you.
"From..." Yes. "But now that I'm done listening, I really wanted to reach out and ask for some specific advice if you're up for it." This is going to be a long email. "In the early stages of starting my own wedding planning company, I feel like I'm in an awkward position as I'm keeping my plans a complete secret from everyone I work with, my actual coworkers, and vendors that we work with often. Any advice on how to approach this and make the transition as smooth as possible would be so helpful." I'm going to just do
when
all
when she's
the...
ready to finally take the plunge and go on her own.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also she wants to find a mentor, like a successful wedding planner that she can work with or shadow for a year while getting her feet off the ground. So how do you do that? "I'm also interested in how you two booked your first clients." Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's a lot. "I'm sure that once I get a few clients under my belt, I'll feel more confident. And I've also been focusing on the knot and wedding wire. And I noticed that both of you don't have a huge..." Wait. "But I noticed neither of you have a huge presence on those websites, but you're both still very successful. How do your clients find you?" And then she has a lot of questions about pricing as well.
Are we successful?
And how to price and compare and all that.
I don't know how successful we are.
We're both extremely successful. You'll hear it here first.
I'm just turning people down left and right.
Yeah. So let's start at the beginning from when she says that she feels like she's in an awkward position. Any advice on how to approach this transition from working for somebody, it sounds like at a venue, to having her own business?
Well, I can.
I think this happens a lot.
Well, this happened with you and I. I mean, this is not... I mean, you were
but
working
it
for me.
It coincided with a move.
Yeah, but I knew that your dream was to have your own wedding planning business someday. And I didn't know I was moving and I didn't know you were moving. So you could have potentially been my competitor in San Francisco.
Oh, just like after a year of working with you.
I mean, that's kind of, that's the nature of things. And if you're working for someone right now that you think would be offended, I mean, that person should know. I mean, that's... I don't want to go into ego, but
she's working for a bigger company right now.
Yeah, but I mean, come on. All of us in business know that there's going to be competitors coming into our industry every week, every year, whatever. So, I mean, listen.
Yeah, if you don't want to step on toes, don't steal any current clients.
Thank you.
That is a big no-no, yes. And it will affect your relationship moving forward.
Christine.
And whatever company you're working for will talk about you to other people,
yeah.
And you might be blackballed before you even start.
Don't steal their uniqueness. Don't steal their ideas.
Don't steal their trademarked, contracts or their verbiage.
Yeah.
But certainly if you're working with someone at a venue and then in the middle of that, you're going to leave and they're still having their wedding there, you can't take that person with you, that client. There will be, have confidence that, whatever you've learned, there will be other clients, there will be new clients that find you, and your experience will make you a better wedding planner.
Yes.
So this is not no one's going to take it personally if you do it the right way. And I think that is with transparency. Not, you don't have to tell them right now, but when you're ready to go, be transparent that you're cutting the umbilical cord and you're, you know, going to go out on your own, and maybe you'll see them at some networking events and then just move on.
And how wonderful it was that you learned from them, and how much you value that and respect them, and that you're going to be always there for them. And, you know, it doesn't have to be like this, okay, you know, like we're never going to talk again. I mean, never burn bridges. And hopefully they're smart enough never to burn bridges with you either, because you might be getting so, you know, so busy that you're going to say, I'm not available, but I do want to recommend XYZ company because I actually worked for them for a long time and they're amazing.
Right. Yeah. And it might feel a little bit awkward. I think that's natural, but I know I could name 6 planners off the top of my head right now in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that in the time I've been here have gone from big companies, whether it's in rentals or catering or for a planner, and started their own.
Yeah.
And they have just as many hardships in starting their own company as I did from moving here from another part of the country and kind of starting all over again. It felt like very much from scratch. So what we're trying to say is starting your own business is hard. It doesn't matter where you're coming from. It's going to be hard. So the best thing for you to do is be nice and be a hard worker and be professional. And when you do leave your current job, do it in the cleanest, most considerate way that you can. And then once you go, go. Don't worry anymore about, you know, their feelings or how this is going to work, because you just have to make it work. You have to forge ahead.
And make sure you're ready to do this. And I don't want to discourage you, but make sure you're ready to do this, because it is a long haul and it takes years and it's a lot of work. And yeah, make sure you're ready.
And I know very few planners who made enough money just doing it in their first couple of years to actually support themselves as a single person. There's a ton you have to think about. Your health insurance is not going to be covered anymore. You know, like there's some big things. That's why we told the cake baker, don't quit your day job. It's just, it's a supplemental income for a lot of women and men, but for a lot of people starting out. And then once you get going enough, you can make it your full-time gig.
And Elle does say
that's hard to do.
She has a very supportive partner that has offered to support her financially for a year or two while she gets her business off the ground. So that's a huge advantage. Huge, huge, huge.
And then she's asking us 2 questions. One is like, how do we get our clients? And we're not on the Knot or Wedding Wire, and we don't do listings there. And then the other big question she has is how to price out her services when a planning service is all over the map and could go from 1,000 to 8,000. And, you know, we all offer a la carte, and how the hell do I put it all together? Yeah. So to answer your question about the first one, I'm still trying to figure out how I get my clients and why I don't get clients from certain avenues and all of that. I think it depends on the city you're in. It is a lot of word of mouth, and it's hard because it's like, how do you get more clients if you don't have the clients right now to talk about you?
I mean, I get my clients. I've been doing this for almost 16 years now. So it's really through word of mouth, a huge word of mouth, past clients referring me, vendors who I've been working with for years that I have solid relationships referring me, having worked at venues for years and being on their vendor list. It's all referral. I feel like it's all referral for me. And then some, you know, webs, there's a decent amount of web search, right? Where they go online and they find me based on, you know, whether it's reviews or something they're searching specifically. And, you know, because I mean, there's so many. You have to make sure your website has the right tags. You make sure that you're posting to social media. That part of things is so hard to figure out.
Yeah. You're in networking groups. You're just planning coffees and meetings with anybody that you can. And this will also be a way that you could potentially find that mentor that you want. For me, I do a lot of like side hustles that have to do with weddings in terms of like writing blog posts and magazine articles for other companies about weddings so that my name is just out there. And hopefully if someone Googles Christy Matthews, Dallas, gay, wedding planner, you know, I'll come up on any of those terms. So, you know, if Michelle and I had cracked the code on how to promote our businesses on social media perfectly, we would both be so booked for 2018 and 2019 that we wouldn't be taking clients anymore. So it is an ongoing, it's ongoing. It's a learning experience, but word of mouth covers both within the industry and finding clients for your service. So you have to start putting yourself out there. You have to start meeting people face to face.
And I think at the end of the day, this is something that's really important. Just stay true to who you are and work really, really hard for the clients that you have, whether it be one couple or three couples or 10. Like, make sure you're investing time into those weddings and you're working as hard as you can and you're doing for them what you would expect.
No matter what they're paying you.
Because at the end of the day, this is what you're doing as a job. And if you're not doing it right, you're not going to get referred. So, yeah.
And that's totally true. And part of being a wedding planner is understanding all of the cogs that go into this machine of a wedding. So I think don't just focus on other wedding planners. Talk to photographers and DJs and venues and maybe find somebody like that you could consider a mentor within that. So basically say yes, assist a florist for free. You know, say that you will help set up chairs at a venue and help straighten up afterwards. Like, say yes to experiences, you know, take them with both your hands and actually like just really dig in. And the more you do that, the more you'll find out about this industry as a whole. So I think that is some basic quick advice. Best of luck and keep us posted and stay in touch.
And everybody, thank you again so much for writing to us. It's just amazing. And I also wanted to say that any of you listening are planning your wedding, going through anything that you think others would benefit from hearing, write to us and let us know. I think this episode we did with Lauren kind of opened our eyes to that you want to hear these things, that others can tell their stories and help you listening. And we want to put out there what you want to hear. So, yeah. Did I say that right?
Yeah, totally. Let us know. We want to do what you want to hear.
Okay, throw out the social media.
Yes, please. You can find us at thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com, thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter, TBWP Podcast, and we have Facebook, The Big Wedding Planning Podcast. We're on iTunes, and you can get our episodes directly off of our website as well. So keep in touch. On Instagram right now, we're just hashtagging The Big Wedding Planning Podcast on both of our business pages, Allure Consulting and Christy Matthews Events. So we'll see you out there.
See you out
there.
And
we hope to hear from you soon.
Happy planning, everybody. I will talk to you soon, Christy.
You too. Bye.